are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, October the 23rd, and Fridays with Brian. Yet again, this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I once signed Too Legit to Quit to Isaiah Thomas, and he did it back to me, and I'm Brother Brian.
Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. It's Fridays with Brian. We're throwing the script out the window today. We're just doing debate reaction the entire show. Presidential debate reaction. I know that's why you guys come to the Locked On Pistons podcast. So let's get into it, Brian. Biden, Trump, no, I'm just kidding. We're not going to talk about the presidential debate.
I have some thoughts.
We'll put those on ice for now. Okay. But instead, we're talking Detroit Pistons and the NBA draft. Tom Gores on Securus. Okay, the company that he purchased there that we talked about this week. And also the draft picks that we talked about on the show. Kyra Lewis and also Obi Toppin, a couple of the hot names in the draft as well. But first, I want to mention Stan Van Gundy. Congratulations back to the head coaching ranks in the NBA, joining the New Orleans Pelicans there. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But we got Brother Brian here, Brian Shook, joining us as he does every Friday, and really most episodes now, as we're being honest about it. But Brian's all over the draft profiles. But this week, he was also all over Tom Gores, the owner of the Detroit Pistons, and a little bit of a controversial deal that he has himself into these days. That was on, I want to say, Tuesday's episode. So check out that if you want the TikTok, the rundown from Brian on that. But Brian, I know you did a lot of reading, and we've talked about this a little bit off mic as well. Any other revelations that maybe weren't in your report, or opinions or thoughts that you've had a few days later?
Well, I honestly don't. We covered this because it's in the news and it's something that I feel that we should, so that we can kind of get all angles of the organization. And this story has been out here since 2017 when Platinum Equity did acquire Securus, but it hasn't seemed to affect players' decisions to come to the team. It certainly didn't affect Troy Weaver, who's an African-American general manager, coming to the team as far as the social aspect of it. But now that we're getting kind of into a weird time where maybe the social responsibilities of the teams may play more into players' decisions, I think that's ultimately what'll decide if this is an actual story or a nothing burger, is common parlance now. In the sense that if it starts affecting personnel, then it becomes an issue. But if Tom Gores is true to his word, that he's working to be an agent of change, that he's looking to maybe take this as an opportunity to help, you know, in a small part, reform what happens in the prison industrial complex as far as, you know, disproportionately affecting minorities and whatnot, then I think it could turn it into a positive potentially down the road. But it is kind of a landmine, and if it inhibits the ability for the Pistons to draw personnel, whether it's players or front office people, to the team, then it becomes more of a story. But this has been out there for a couple of years, and it hasn't seemed to affect it, at least looking in from the outside, it hasn't seemed to affect it. So I think right now it's just something that we want to report on, just to let you know, you know, with all this stuff out there, kind of educate you on exactly what people are talking about. But at the end of the day, right now, I don't think it's something that is that needs to be at the front of mind of Gores to divest or sell the team. Hasn't necessarily come up with any sort of legitimate momentum. So ultimately, I think this is just something to kind of put in our back of our minds as we get into the off season and see what discussions with, you know, potential free agents, potential draftees, and how that goes. But you know, it's out there. It's another thing that is kind of a, you know, a black mark on a franchise that doesn't necessarily need one or can afford to have one right now. But hopefully it kind of stays on the back burner. And again, you'd mentioned that if you combed through probably a lot of these billionaires' portfolios, you're going to find some things that you don't necessarily like. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if they're not affecting the day-to-day or the franchise in general, then as fans, you know, we don't have much of a leg to stand on to demand change from that, I guess, would be the best way to put that.
I don't want to sit here and act like Tom Gore is the most philanthropic guy on the planet, but his marks in all of these regards in terms of what he does for the community up until this controversy, which is flaring up a little bit here as it's gaining steam, especially with the protests and everything that's been going on with the NBA players, with their voices being heard. But this is a guy who, you know, he's from Flint and he's doing a lot of good inside the city of Flint. You always see residents coming to games, and Tom Gore is paying for that. The basketball courts all over the city of Detroit, moving the team actually from the deep suburbs back to downtown, has been a positive thing for the city of Detroit as well. So, you know, there's some good things that he's done. And I think even in this regard, you know, socially, the positives so far outweighs the negative. But I think it's our job as a podcast and also the reporters covering the team day in and day out that we kind of, you know, keep on this story and stay on it as time goes on and see what changes and what could help. Obviously, this is something that Tom Gore doesn't impact his day-to-day life, but it's something where a lot of people are impacted by that, and a lot of their loved ones are impacted by that as well. And it's not a small thing for a lot of people in this community and a lot of communities all over the country.
Right. And you referenced, you know, what he's done for Flint. He's raised a lot of money for, you know, the water crisis that's going on up there. I believe I saw the numbers, $10 million somewhere in that ballpark for helping that situation up there. And the needle is moving in the positive direction with whatever controversy on, you know, the exorbitant rates that the company reportedly charges for phone calls. The needle's moving in the right direction. Now, not as quickly as some people would like it to move possibly, but it's going in the right direction. So I think it's headed in the direction of a non-story, and ultimately down the road could be a positive if he does work as a significant agent of change as it comes to the prison industrial complex. But, you know, it's something to, you know, keep in mind as they move forward as an organization.
Brian, let me get your quick take on Tom Gore. I don't know if I've ever talked about this with you. You know, obviously the winning and the on-court product has not been there in his tenure, but a little bit of, you know, a mile, your kind of reference from living away for most of his time as the owner of the Detroit Pistons and basically an irrelevant franchise from a national standpoint. But what do you think about Tom Gore as a owner?
Well, I honestly had no idea who he was until he picked, you know, mm-hmm. bought the Pistons, being a transplant from not Detroit, but Michigan out to California, where he made all his money as a real estate guy. I think it's a problem right now that, you know, kind of, you know, flows through the entire franchise. And I don't necessarily think it started with Gore's, but it kind of perpetuates as a lack of identity. I don't really have a feeling on Gore's, and, you know, it's not necessarily been positive, but I can't really point to anything that's been negative about it. So I think it's more of the fact that I don't have much of an opinion on him, which is kind of permeates through the franchise as, you know, kind of not having much relevance in the league. And certainly not nationally. I mean, locally, they have been obviously relevant. But, you know, I just kind of think that I don't think he's been out front and strong like somebody like Mark Cuban. So I don't think he's really, from the outside looking in, really grabbed the reins and put his imprint on this franchise, good, bad, or indifferent. I'd like to see him kind of command more success, obviously, in wins and losses, but also, you know, create an identity for this team that they can build in, not always having to look back at, you know, 04, the Bad Boys, and, you know, talk about that's the culture that we want to replicate, and that may be the culture we want to replicate, but it's got to come from Gore's, and I don't necessarily get that feeling from him as he's kind of just you know, the money guy signing the checks. I don't know that the impact he's had on the franchise has created an identity or a feeling. So I would like to see him be a little more vocal and out front in, you know, putting the stamp on the team. But, you know, some owners find success in kind of being in the shadows and just signing checks. So, you know, we'll see. It all comes down to wins and losses. If he's able to turn this franchise around, the public perception of him will, his Q rating will improve. If they continue to wallow or even get worse, then the Q rating is going to go down. So, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of on the fence, and I think it's either up to him or the franchise to come out and demand relevance from the NBA.
Well, up next, we're going to talk to someone that I know you're not on the fence about, and that is Kyra Lewis and, of course, Obi Toppin as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But, hey, if you have auto parts needs, or maybe if you don't know that you have needs, but I promise you, you probably do, you'll find something that you're looking for at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices that you prefer. I recommend the low prices. Best of all, those prices, they are always low at rockauto.com. The same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Maybe it's at about 2:30 in the afternoon. Maybe it's at that two-thirds mark of the debate when you don't know how you're going to push through it. A lot of you need to get through the wall, and I'm just like you guys, and I've found something that's helped me get through my wall, and that is Built Go. Break through your wall with Built Go. Whether it's the mental or the physical wall, Built Go is going to help you get through it. It's easy to take in a 1.5-ounce package that you can take wherever you go. The briefcase for heading out to work, the golf bag for the back nine, put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go, it's the best workout gel on the market. You ingest it, it's like five-hour energy without the same crash feeling, plus it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's three delicious flavors. I had them all. I vouch for them all. Peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint as well. How does Built Go work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach as well. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my day. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine as well. Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong. Get the B6, the B12, 10,000% of your daily requirement of B12, so you'll be good for a while. The collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better as well. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I'm going to throw some rapid-fire trades at Brian about Blake Griffin from James Edwards III of The Athletic's article from Thursday, kind of examining where Blake might end up next. But speaking of ending up next, November 18th is the NBA draft, and the Pistons figure to have at least one more player joining the team. One pick for the Pistons, no second-round pick as we sit here on October 22nd as we tape this. But Brian's been providing us with some great draft profiles, and those continued this week with Kyra Lewis, tied for 11th on the NBA draft big board from the Locked On Pistons listeners. And then Obi Toppin of Dayton, Obadiah Toppin. I think you should go with Obadiah. That's just my opinion. But he was number 10 on the list. So let's start with Obi, because I know we're gonna save Kyra for you after that. We'll go out of order here. But how do you feel about Obi? What's your opinions after examining him a little bit?
I really, really liked his game. Now, the thing that jumped out to me initially and actually ultimately is where a lot of my thoughts about him goes is his age at 22. He redshirted a year. He played postgraduate at a prep school after high school. So even though he was only, you know, played 2 years at Dayton, he is 22. So he is one of the older players in the draft. And he's probably as close to his ceiling as anybody else so far that we've looked at in the draft. Because of his experience, it's a really nice game. And if the Pistons were, you know, one, two, even three pieces away from from competing, he'd be the type of player that you'd go after because he's ready to contribute right away. He's a smart player. He's good positionally. Watching him, because of his frame, what I kept coming back to is he doesn't look as athletic as he is on the court. His frame makes a lot of his movement look a little robotic, but especially on the defensive end, moving laterally. And that's where he does get lost a little bit defensively. And if you're getting a player like Obi Toppin, especially if we're talking at the number 7 pick, then you're going to need solid defense from him. And he's definitely, an offensive player. He can explode off the court. He's got all of the athleticism when he's running and flying up the court. He does get lost on the defensive end a little bit. And because of his age, I don't know how much coaching is going to get a lot of that instinct and habit out of him. He played, at Dayton, so not in one of, the power conferences. So he was able to get all the accolades, but I think he's able to at college depend on his athleticism a lot more than he'll be able to at the pro level.
Yeah. I think a nice March Madness NCAA tournament for him would have been good if they were able to knock off some good teams, get to the Final Four and show that he was the best player in college basketball this past year, which he may have been,
right?
But that's just kind of you got the Dayton thing out there, and it's just kind of hanging out there that, yeah, he had a great season, but, and of course, he's a guy who might be hurt from with the lack of March Madness there. My take is that I just don't think he fits this team, especially when talking about Blake Griffin and possibly Christian Wood coming back and Sekou as well, guys that will play at the four, sometimes on the court, all four of them. I think that's probably their best position, all three of those guys. So that's an issue that's going to be Obi Toppin's position as well. Now, I know that the Pistons aren't a team that should be drafting for need. However, if you're drafting a number 7, if you like Obi Toppin, there's probably guys that are right near each other on their list. So, but that said, and I don't like Obi Toppin, and he's probably around 10 or 12 or something like that on my personal big board, which I should probably throw out a new edition of that pretty soon. But all that said, like, if Troy Weaver takes Obi Toppin number 7 and you walk away with the college basketball player of the year on draft night, I'm not going to throw a roof down to Woodward out my window of my apartment. That's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to be yelling and screaming here on the reaction podcast for Locked On Pistons. So, I'll throw him in that group of guys that would be probably decent type of value at 7, not exactly my bag and not what I see for the construction of Troy Weaver's team going forward, but not so bad there. But Kyra Lewis, I know that you're passionate about the young man from Alabama. You've kind of given your pitch, and you did on the but you're getting. I saw a Reddit thread that was started by someone talking about you making the pick there. What do you think about some of the reaction? And now that you've put yourself out there on record, any regrets or any new thoughts?
Not at all. As I even dove deeper into him for the profile, I love them even more. He's been playing a year up ever since high school. I mean, he reclassified after his junior year, so his freshman year at Alabama, as impressive as it was really his senior year in high school. And to be able to perform at that level in the SEC, especially where we've had a lot of names, just kind of going over the list of the people that the listeners submitted, a lot of SEC guys. And Kyra just jumps off the screen, even against some of those guys. We're going to do Isaac Okoro coming up. We did Aaron Nesmith. Games against these guys, he's shown on a lot of possessions. I see the potential for a franchise type point guard. And I think looking back at the construction of the Pistons that have been successful in years past, it really took off when they got the point guard situation figured out. Isaiah Thomas, Chauncey Billups, these teams, Isaiah was near the beginning of it, Chauncey kind of, near the nexus of the creation of that team. They took their teams to the next level. And I think Kyra, he could be that type of player. I mean, the kid doesn't turn 20 until next spring. So there's a lot of room for improvement. And all the deficiencies I've seen in his game, and there are deficiencies, I don't want to act like he doesn't have flaws in his game, but I think they all can be mitigated by him growing into his body, 165 pounds on his frame. He can add weight. It'll help him finish at the rim. It'll help him not shy away from contact. It'll help him play through screens. His defense is off the charts. He's, you know, I wouldn't consider him necessarily a score first point guard, but he certainly can score. And some of the things that hopped out to me is he passes players open. A couple of the highlights that I was watching on his tape, you know, it looked like a pretty easy pass over to a guy that initially when I was watching, it looked like he missed the pass to the right or the left. But then as you watch the play develop, that actually gave the shooter an extra beat or two to load up and get an even better look. So it's, he's looking ahead and he's creating space for players who maybe don't have the ability to create space themselves.
Yeah, and a guy with a lot to like, and I know we got 9 more profiles to go, but as we've talked about, you're going to hit a couple extra ones as well with guys like RJ Hampton, who's moved up some of the boards. Tyrese Maxey is a guy who didn't get a lot of love from the listeners, but someone that we feel like should be talked about as well. And Tyrell Terry of Stanford, a freshman coming out of there, who's actually older than Kyra Lewis, but Tyrell Terry is another guy who I know Kevin O'Connor's got number 8 on his big board for the Ringer, and someone who could be making a move himself, a 6'2 guard that we'll be talking about at some point as well. And we're almost there as far as getting to the NBA draft. I know it's been a long journey, but we were almost there, and I'll get out my big board sometime soon as well. But the other silly season thing we do is throw trade proposals out there. We talked about Zach Lowe's report that there's some people interested in Blake Griffin around the league. So, of course, we're going to blow this out as much as possible and throw some rumors at you. James Edwards III put together a story with some scenarios. We're going to do a little rapid fire on that. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But, hey, got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than the OGs. The 6 new flavors – caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Ask the Built Bar folks, if you talk to them, why there's only one flavor with the pun name, cherry barcia. But add those 6 new ones to the 12 OGs, including raspberry, salted caramel. These flavors are great. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Those are the macros you want. Those are the macros you need. Good for the keto diet. I've messed around in the past on the keto diet. I try to stay low carb still, but I tell you, that's the one thing that's lost a little bit of the belly fat, which I know a lot of you gentlemen out there are probably interested in as well. So Built Bar, go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, we got Brother Brian here for Fridays with Brian. This week, Zach Lowe chopped it up with Bill Simmons on the Low Post podcast on ESPN.com, saying the teams around the league are asking about Blake Griffin. Meaning that my stance is still that I don't want to trade Blake Griffin if you have to attach assets to him just to make him a neutral value. But if teams perceive him as a neutral asset or even a possible positive asset, maybe slight, that could change the calculus for me, especially if you're getting assets that help you out in the future. So James Edwards III of The Athletic threw John Hollinger some possible scenarios, and I'm going to get Brian's scenario here on the fly and what he thinks about each of these. As Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons talked about, the Warriors matchup, how about Blake Griffin and number 7 swapping it for number 2, so moving up in the draft with the Warriors, and also getting Andrew Wiggins and Kevon Looney, the big man, from the Warriors. What do you think about that deal?
Well, I like Kevon Looney more than I would like the Wiggins deal. That Wiggins just hasn't seemed to work out anywhere, and I'm not sure the Detroit situation is somewhere where he can blossom. It looks a lot like the Timberwolves situation in terms of helping his development. I'm in the same boat as you as far as Blake goes. You're probably at the lowest end of his value right now, is, you know, the perception around the league coming off yet another injury. So I think having to, you know, give up, cash in some assets, the number 7 pick, just to move up to that number 2 pick, I don't see as necessarily being worth it at this point, because I don't like right now anybody at that top end of the draft any more than I like anybody where the Pistons are currently picking. So I would kibosh that one just because I don't think that the number two pick is as attractive as it may be in other years.
Yeah, and I think that Blake Griffin coming out and showing that he's healthy only improves his value as you look towards the trade deadline or possibly next summer. And the other side of the coin is, what's the worst case scenario? He's washed and he doesn't help you out anymore. Well, guess what? That means that you're basically pulling a tank at that point anyway. And I'm not someone who's necessarily pro-tank, but if you're going to lose and you're going to be really bad, and I want guys to improve. I want the young guys to get minutes, and I want this team to be steadily improving in time. But it's not the worst thing in the world to have Blake Griffin on the bench and injured if it's just for two more years. And if that's a worst case scenario, I'd rather roll the dice and take that chance as opposed to trading him and then seeing his value go up over these next couple of years, especially as it becomes an expiring contract next offseason. What about the Sacramento Kings? How about attaching Luke Kennard to Blake Griffin and acquiring the number 12 pick in the draft this year from the Sacramento Kings, in addition to backup point guard Corey Joseph and Buddy Hield from the Sacramento King? What do you think about that?
This one's a little more intriguing because I've always been on the Buddy Hield bandwagon. I think that he's, you know, you're kind of swapping shooters at that point with Luke and Buddy, but I'd be more apt to do this one because moving down in the draft, I see as the value in this draft, moving down and, you know, potentially getting another pick but not necessarily moving up. So I'd be more apt to do this one because you're getting more in return, I believe, with Buddy Hield than the Golden State scenario. And you're not looking to hop up into a draft where I just don't see the top end talent being this year.
Agreed. I like this trade a little bit more because, like you said, you're adding another first round pick to that. So you're helping out your future in that regard too. And Buddy Hield is locked up. He's got 4 years left on his deal at $24 million. And yeah, that's a lot of money, but at least you know you have a good quality player that's going to be growing with your young team as time goes on. You know, it's nice to have the restricted rights for Luke Kennard next summer and the extension rights right now, but it's uncertain. You know, who knows? Luke Kennard might get a big offer sheet next offseason and you might lose him for nothing. So the clock of Luke Kennard and where his contract is right now doesn't really work for where the Pistons are. Now, if they can get him for a nice little discount or a reasonable contract for both sides, that changes the calculus. But where we sit right now, Luke Kennard, you may have to either overpay him or lose him, and that's a risk that you'd have to take. So to me, it's like a neutral, and then adding that positive of getting that pick at number 12 would be good. How about the Brooklyn Nets? They obviously could use some more star power. They got some contracts that they'd maybe like to shed as well, and they have a couple picks out there that are of their property right now. The Nets, they are going to be – okay, so Blake Griffin – and then the Pistons give up number 7 as well, their first-round pick this year, in addition to the second-round pick acquired in the Svi Mykhailiuk deal. So this is the Lakers' second-round pick, basically meaningless. But Blake Griffin and number 7. And the Pistons acquire Garrett Temple on an expiring deal, who's a nice veteran player. And then the reunion of Spencer Dinwiddie coming back to the Detroit Pistons along with Torian Prince and Jared Allen, a nice little – young center that's a player that should be coveted and one of my favorite defensive players around the league.
That's an interesting one. I like, you know, Jared Allen being part of that and Spencer Dinwiddie coming back. He was just in the news today firing Roc Nation, I believe, and maybe representing himself in negotiations moving forward. I like this pick, or I like this trade. Again, you're acquiring assets. You're not looking to move up and, you know, you're getting an expiring contract a year earlier than Blake's would expire. So you're going to give yourself a little more flexibility in the years to come, I would think. So I think this would be the type of deal that is commensurate with the direction I think the Pistons should be taking.
Yeah, Jared Allen, you're going to have to make a big money decision, just like similarly to Luke Kennard in terms of where the clock's at for him. Torian Prince got a big deal, unfortunately, so that would be a little bit of an albatross on your cap sheet, but certainly not nearly as big as Blake Griffin's is. Now, Prince isn't nearly the player that Blake Griffin is either, but something to keep in mind there. But the last one here, Phoenix Suns, just Blake Griffin, and in return, you're getting Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, and Frank Kaminsky. Oubre and Kaminsky on expiring deals, and Rubio with 2 years, $17 million on his contract. Does that move the needle for you?
There's nothing overly exciting about that deal for me.
Right.
I'd have to look at the flexibility that gives you in the coming years over having Blake for the 2 years. There are some deals out there that are rumored with Phoenix, but this one isn't one I necessarily would jump on. I would be looking at more – looking at their number 12 pick and seeing if there's a way that we could somehow work that into the deal. On the flip side of, you know, we're talking about Blake trades here, and it's tough for me to get behind a lot of these because Blake's value, I think, is perceived lower at the lowest point that it possibly can be at this point anyway. You know, the other asset the Pistons have that I think is at the highest is Derrick Rose and how he mm-hmm. might fit into some of those scenarios about possibly acquiring another first-round pick a little bit later in the draft. But again, this Phoenix one, there's nothing really there that excites me too much. Oubre's a pretty nice player to have. But no, I'd kind of shy away from that one as well. It's just nothing that I don't think you do a ton for your franchise at that point.
I wonder if you could get like some pick swap options down the line to add in there. I just need some kind of draft capital. And I know that just throwing number 10 this year is probably too much to ask in this kind of deal, but I wonder if you could get 3 years of options of pick swaps and whatever year you actually get a benefit from the first round pick in getting that, if you could do something like that, or if the Phoenix could give you like a heavily protected pick down the road that, you know, they don't want to give up a pick that's probably in the lottery, but if they're betting on themselves and then that pick ends up being number 20, you know, this is a win now type of move that Phoenix would make, that maybe if they get to the playoffs, they'd be willing to say, hey, this trade worked out pretty good. And maybe the 22nd pick next year wouldn't be so bad to part with, because that means that things worked out pretty well for us if Blake Griffin came over healthy. Another thing that's interesting, and you mentioned Derrick Rose, that if you acquire Ricky Rubio in a trade, you would think that that means that Derrick Rose, one way or another, is not on this team going forward, because you've kind of solved that veteran point guard presence that you'd kind of need. I would almost, and I know that the Rose people are going to hate this comment, but I like the fit of Ricky Rubio on this team a little bit better than Derrick Rose, just because Ricky Rubio is like a pass first and pass second point guard. I mean, he passes too much, if anything else, and that puts the ball in the hands of guys that you need to be having develop their games going forward. And I know it's a little bit simplistic to say that Derrick Rose doesn't pass enough and that there are other considerations in the Derrick Rose package that are positives to keeping him around. But Ricky Rubio might be the kind of player who helps get this thing moving in the right direction in terms of overall development of the team. Something to think about there. But a bunch of trades out there. But Blake Griffin overall, we'll see where he ends up. I think Brian and I are kind of on the same page that unless someone's throwing you some real potential things in terms of draft capital, and I'm not talking about moving up to 2 from 7, but like in additional picks this year, that's what really kind of intrigued me about the Sacramento offer, which sounds like a pretty good one. Maybe we'll give Sacramento a call here after the podcast. But brother Brian, thanks for joining us here on Fridays with Brian per usual, and thanks to everyone for listening as well. As that wraps up this edition and this week of Locked On Pistons, I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.